Yeah, we'll call the meeting to order, public safety, July 12, 2016, 4:45. Any public comment? No, we'll go right into police and fire updates. Chief Jim?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The jail census as of today was 126 inmates. Of those, 73 are from Candiota County, 43 from the Minnesota Department of Corrections, 5 from Swift, 2 from Chippewa, and 1 each from Big Stone, McLeod, and Stevens County. Calls for service from the last 2 weeks dating back to June 28th, there are 853 calls for service. Consistently, the number 1 is traffic stops, 2 public assists, number 3 this time was suspicious people and vehicles. And calls for service to date in 2016, we've had 10,391 calls for service. We're 512 calls ahead of this date last year, an equivalent of 8 days worth of calls ahead for us. So, looking to be another busy year.
Looks to be already.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we need to know about suspicious people, or what? When should you call in suspicious person? Just when you have an instinct, or?
You know, that's really what we tell people is, you know, trust your gut instinct. Some people are afraid to call us, thinking that they might be inconveniencing us, and that's what people pay us to do, is check out those things. So really, anytime you see a vehicle where it may not belong, a person where they may not belong, or them doing something that seems out of place, we certainly would like to know about it and check it out.
Several people tell me I should have called. I said, just do it.
Yep.
If you think it looks suspicious, you should call it in, more now than ever. The police department could use the public's help.
We can't function without the eyes and ears of the public. So, I mean, on any given night, we may have, on a good night, might have 5 officers working and to cover the entire town. You know, that's, we just can't do it without people calling in.
Is COP still going on?
We still embrace the concept. You know, we don't have the COP meetings and that type of thing like we used to, but we're doing coffee with a cop now. And our next one is on July 22nd, so a week from Friday, and it'll be at Dunn Brothers this time. You know, to try and get out and get to know more people in the community, them to know us, and just a real relaxed setting and that type of thing. We're using a lot more social media. You know, we still are involved in a lot of public speaking type things, but before, where we used to have a dedicated officer, more or less a crime prevention officer for that, now everybody gets the opportunity to do public speaking, which is better for all of our officers too, to do that. So
it's better for the public too, just to get a little more, to know that the police aren't the bad guys.
Right.
They're the good guys. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just curious, maybe you can't answer it, but how many times when you go, are they truly suspicious people, or are they just people stopped somewhere, or?
For actual, probably the number of calls where it's actual criminal things going on would be a fairly low percentage, but sometimes it's maybe they've had car trouble and they're walking through an area trying to get back home. We can render some assistance that way. Sometimes it's innocent activity, and our officers are very conscious about not making accusations, just offering assistance when they can, or at least checking out what's going on. I don't think a lot of numbers go into this, a few, but the suspicious activity even involving the Pokemon Go game with people wandering around and that type of thing. And, you know, that's actually given our officers a chance to stand and talk with some of those people for a while, too. I don't know of any of our officers that are participating in it. I'm not, anyway, but Shelby might set me up with how to do it. But
Any other questions or comments for Jim? Now we'll go on to
National Night Out. That's coming up soon.
It is. It's August. Oh, boy. I didn't bring that with me. But, right now, James Venegay, during the school year, is one of our school resource officers. He's been in charge of that the last few years and coordinating it. So any community that would like an officer to come to a get-together that they're planning for that night, we will certainly arrange that and bring any handouts or if they have any specific topics they want addressed. Otherwise, if they just want us to be there and show off a squad car and say hi, you know, we'll do whatever they want there. So
good. Chief Frank.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Just wanted to report that in the last 2 weeks we have had 17 fire calls, four of which were actually weather watch calls. We have 5 different alarm calls, 1 medical assist call this afternoon, 3 car crashes, 1 fire, 2 cooking fires, and then 1 smoke in a hallway call. Our current dispatch to arrival time on scene is 7 minutes and 14 seconds, which is very good for a department our size. Year-to-date calls is 167, and last year at this time we have had 176 calls. We're 9 short from last year. Just on another side, on the inspection side, we just got done today, finished up all the alarm and sprinkler inspections in the Rice Rehab building. I believe that is actually, they were talking about starting with patients on Monday.
They're moving. So this coming Monday?
Yeah. They're moving real quick now. So, and then our road in front of our fire station is still dug up and at a standstill at this point. Seems like once they start making headway, we get a whole bunch of rain and it becomes a pool again. So that hopefully will be done here in the next couple of weeks.
Are they going to do the drive in front too, or just the street right now?
The street right now, and then the drive is, I think, planned for probably fall.
Then we're going to quote that separate.
Quote that, yeah.
Okay. Sure so, means it.
Obviously. Yep.
The original intent was to deal with the project, but...
No foam?
No. No foam, but we're going to bid that one separate, so we'll get it done.
Okay. So, anything else for Anchor?
Nope, I don't think so.
Any questions or comments?
Just one question. Whatever happened legislatively with the Appleton prison? I know that there was... looking at purchasing that at one time in the state. The reason why I'm asking, I remember receiving a letter of support, I think that was written or drafted by Mr. Halliday, who was acting city administrator, and then it was pulled and it wasn't distributed out. The letter was showing support for the Apple prison to be reopened, and I'm wondering how why it was, have you heard any, why somehow somebody here in the city or decided not to send out the letter of support? And I'm just curious why we wouldn't support Appleton prison being open. I don't know if you heard anything. I heard at one time it's because there's a threat that it might take some space away or could take prisoners away there. I mean, currently,
right, you know, and I guess you know, Sheriff Hartog would be probably the best one to answer that question, is more familiar with it. But my understanding of that is that that it basically it did not pass the House and Senate, so it's you know, not an issue that they're going to consider in a special session or anything like that right now. There were some disagreements over the state leasing it versus owning it, you know, run it by union employees, which I believe was the intent, no matter how, if they bought it or leased it. But I remember some discussions about not sending that letter of support, because right now the jail does contract with the state for prisoners, and without coordinating with the county on that, didn't want to, because it more than likely would cause a drop in prisoners boarded there. Fortunately, you know, the jail is not at maximum capacity where they have the ability to board state prisoners and get some income. I think it's you know, it's like $60 or $70 a day, I think, the state pays for each prisoner that's boarded here. So
good. Maybe shoot somebody an email, our talk or something.
Thanks.
Sure.
Frank, if you have anything else to do, you can certainly.
Okay, I have nothing on the agenda, so I will take you up on that.
Item number 4, joint powers agreement.
All right, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, item before you is a joint powers agreement between the state of Minnesota, Department of Public Safety, Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and the City of Willmar Police Department to keep utilizing the CJDN, it's the Criminal Justice Data Communications Network. That's something that we utilize for any court records that we need, running driver's license checks, warrant checks, things like that. It's a formality that the state, it's a 5-year agreement that they require resolution from the governing body to continue that action. And there are no costs for the City of Willmar. The Sheriff's Department, who operates the network and everything, pays the subscriber fees for the connections and everything on that.
Super. Committee?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve staff's recommendation. Any questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion passes.
Thank you.
Substation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On your last item, outside of adjournment, of course, is on your agenda tonight is the Amendment number 1 to Fairgrounds Lift Station. As you know, that's currently being designed for construction next year, summer of 17, by Bolton and Mink. This is an adjustment or an amendment to the existing contract with Bolton and Mink that adds in environmental, kind of EIW, environmental impact worksheets, submittal to the MPCA. It's additional steps the MPCA is requiring for the design of that particular project. So the recommendation would be to approve this amendment number 1 in the amount of $7,296.
Committee.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve staff's recommendation. Any comments or questions? Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sean, can you explain just a little bit? I'm reading that this has something to do with the State Historic Preservation Office. So what exactly did this review entail?
So the review, I wasn't out there when SHPO showed up, but it sounds like these kind of come up depending on what the anticipated environmental aspects of the job of each project is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the details of what SHPO found or is wanting. They're wanting additional information and this additional environmental worksheet that would come along with the design of this project.
Okay.
I can get that more detailed information for you, and I would be happy to do that. I don't have it in front of me at the time.
I guess the main reason for the question is, yeah, is this a cost that we should have anticipated?
Sure.
Or is it something that's just, you know, they came in,
yep,
requested it, and out of our control.
Right. My initial short answer would be that it was after, because it seems like, well, environmental, you're going to have to do that with every project. And mm-hmm. So I can find out more details for you for Monday. I don't have those details in front of me, but the fact that it is an amendment, and we spent a lot of time on the agreement with Bolton and Mink,
sure,
to get all the design work, my guess is that, or my anticipation is that it came in after.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember dealing with this before. It was over at the Midwest campus. We put a bike trail out in that area. We had to have a SHPO, and we had to have a specialist come out and excavate during the time of constructing that path. I don't know the cost was, but it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $8,000 or $9,000. Yeah, I'm curious, like Andrew said too, when I first read this, you know, where does the mandate come in that we have to do this? Are anybody else here for the mandate?
Well, sure. These mandates come up when you ask for federal funding. And since we're doing PFA loan, it's a pass-through through the state. And so anytime you're asking for money from the feds, then they get to kind of, is that the golden rule that he who has the gold makes the rules type thing? So that's where this comes in. And if it was all our money, there would still be regulations, but maybe less.
So they set the standards as far as what type of dig they want to have performed based on knowledge of what, just because it's, you know, we're relocating it a little bit, or
This one we're not relocating. Well, it's placed right beside it, so I guess we kind of are. No, I think just the excavation. I mean, the sumps are 20 feet deep, and you're gonna have quite sizable holes there. So that's my in next to county property, with it being the fairgrounds right there, is what I'm anticipating. But this information I can get. More information from Bolton Bank, and probably should have had him here tonight, so I apologize for that.
Well, no, that's okay. I know that I knew there was some connection with funding and mandates, and I just was wondering why, because I remember you were saying something about them in the same location where the disruption occurred in the original.
Yep.
Topsoil, especially, I don't know what. You would think that they would base it on some type of other archaeological finds in the area to be cautious of before you dig. And I guess I'm just skeptical about this.
Yep.
Well, you have to come up with the money again. But
well,
there we go.
Yeah, and I can tell you that it's talking about additional services needed to obtain clearance and conclude that the previous EIW was completed. So, reviews are strictly historical and cultural as required by the SHPO office. So, I'll find out some more information, and I can have it available Monday if if I haven't got back to anybody sooner.
Well, that's not necessary to reply. I think the only historical situation there was Great Sioux Uprising on before you get to the fairgrounds or somewhere.
Okay.
Some family that was killed or murdered at the time of Great Sioux Uprising.
Okay.
Go ahead, Abby.
It says in here within a mile. I was just trying to remember where it's located. Yeah. Is it on that back road?
Mm-hmm. Back it's on road? The park, I think, is the name of that, where it turns into, it's kind of Park 10th, 11th, kind of all merge right there as you come in the back side of the fairgrounds.
It's a really old.
It's right alongside their fence, right next to the access that the racers use.
Okay. Right.
It's right next to that.
Might find some old car parts there.
Well, it's hard to say.
Right. We have a motion and a second. Any other further comments or questions? No. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Well, same sign, that motion passes. Any old business to be brought before the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Steve.
Last night, prior to the meeting again, yesterday, we were talking about the. The budgeting process discussion. 8 years ago, I came back to the city council, there was discussion, and there was great interest, a lot of enthusiasm for the quiet zones in town. And I'm just wondering, right now we haven't, doesn't seem to be part of, be on the radar, and I'm just wondering what happened. And I don't know, Sean, this is not your. I don't know how much you're aware of it, but I'm just wondering, we have the two quiet zones on Trot and on the other side of town, where Jenny O is. I think we had plans for three more that we were going to be doing. And I didn't see anything on the budget, and I just wondered if that's been coming up in discussions in the budgeting process, or what the concerns are, or whether it's worthwhile.
Mr. Chair, that they haven't come up in the budget, or even the CIP for that matter. I don't know all the details that got here at the end of the Wilmer Avenue one, or actually during the shutdown period or whatever that was, right? So my understanding is, and I can only imagine, that trying to do a quiet zone on 7th or 10th, and I don't know if that's two of the other items or not, with multiple tracks would be virtually impossible. I do know they're very expensive, and depending on who you ask, you kind of get a different answer of how well they work. Because the reality is, they're quiet zones, so they don't blow their horns every time. But if the engineer, the operator, perceives any type of situation, they can still blow the horn. So it's not 100% quiet, but you pay a lot of money to redo the road, you redo the medians, you redo the cross arms, the lights, signage, everything, for something that's not guaranteed. So. Are they the greatest thing ever? I'm not sure of that, but I know that talk has died down quite a bit on adding new ones. Not to say that they couldn't be added to the CIP at any given time.
Well, I was just wondering why it was important back then to lose some of the results after the Turtle Avenue. The one we've had complaint, people say, well, they're still blown.
Yep.
And I know that there's some questions on that. I just curious why it was not on the CIP,
sure,
and whether or not it should be, or what the committee thinks. I will be around at the end of the year, but
sure.
I know that maybe if you talk to some of the merchants downtown, they might agree that it should be on CIP, so I just thought I'd bring it up for discussion.
Well, and they would be affected by the 7th and 10th Street ones, which again, I'm not, I don't know what all that would entail. I mean, especially 7th Street, you've got, is there 8 tracks there? At least. 10th is not quite as many. You know, so if you're talking out of town on County Road 5, then it's more of a county issue where it crosses there. Or if you're talking, where's another single crossing?
West Central Steel.
Yeah, West Central Steel, you know, would be a city one that I don't remember seeing in the CIP.
No, I've never seen that in the CIP.
And then, I guess 2 on County Road 5, because you got the other one just north of Highway 12.
And maybe, I guess I'm curious, that's why I brought it up. And you know, sometimes we forget about some of those things. Do you have any information on it, just what, if it's on the radar now, or if it's off, or, because I think I remember at one time, direction of the city council and the mayor at that time was to budget and put them all in.
Okay.
So in the short time frame of about 8 years, it's something's changing.
Yep. I know 7th and 10th Street crossing has been in the CIP, and whether that involves something along those lines or not, I don't know. I assumed it was to try to smooth that out a little bit, but I don't know all the details. But I can check around the office from guys that have been here longer than me and see where those might go.
Yeah, 10th might be easier to do than 7th. 10th is.
Yep, because there's like 3 of them, 3 tracks there or something. Is all
not a whole lot. Anyway, yeah, good thing you bring that up, because there was some intense discussions about this priority coming here.
Debates.
And people coming and going, and some people say it's, you know, the railroad's money that noises money.
Yep.
So, any other questions, comments on that, or any new business? Go ahead, Audrey.
Just the only comment that I remember coming up with a wide discussion, I think, and kind of waiting to see how, but I don't think
the reduction in traffic.
Talked about it with Lakeland, not doing it when we talked about the road.
Oh, Lakeland being done, yep.
Yeah.
And the wide traffic, I understand, may not have limited change in amount of trains that are not coming through the area, even with the new wide talk people on the railroad. They downplayed it and said there's going to be just about as many, maybe 3 or 4 trains less per day.
And last I heard was 8 or 10 on the new Y, but
yeah,
that could be selling us the project too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. He's hearing different numbers.
So yep.
Wasn't there also a conversation about 7th and 10th about whether both of them are needed?
Well, I'm sure.
On the railroad?
I'm sure. They want to eliminate all at-grade crossings.
Yeah. So, we'll be better off.
Well, yeah, there's some potentially some truth to that too. Yeah.
Move to adjourn.
No, motion to adjourn is a second.
Second.
We're adjourned.
Thank you. Audrey can get to dinner.